The puppeteers pitted our species against each other in order to restrict Kzinti expansion. They had a starseed, Lord Louis. They used it to guide an outsider ship into your space, to ensure human victory. An experiment in selective breeding, you called it. Listen, that's a very chancy chain of assumptions. If you'll just calm down...
But we both followed that chain.
I was in doubt as to whether to broach the subject to Nessus, or whether to wait until we had accomplished our major objective, which is to leave the ring world. Now that you know the situation, I have no choice.
But...
Louis closed his mouth. The siren would have drowned him out anyway. Speaker had signaled emergency. The siren was a maniac mechanical scream, a subsonic and supersonic and jarringly painful sound. Nessus appeared above the dash, crying, "Yes, yes?" Speaker roared his answer.
"You have meddled in a war in the enemy's favor. Your action is tantamount to a declaration of war against the patriarchy."
Tila had cut in time to hear the last part. Louis caught her eye, shook his head. "Don't mix in." The puppeteer's heads reared like snakes to show his astonishment. His voice was without inflection as usual.
"What are you talking about?"
"The first war with men. Starseed lures. The outsider hyperdrive shunt."
A triangular head dipped out of sight. Louis watched a silver fly cycle drop out of formation and knew it was Nessus. He was not terribly worried. The other two fly cycles looked like silver midges, so far away were they and so far apart. If the fight had taken place on the ground, someone could have been seriously hurt. Up here, what could happen? The puppeteer's fly cycle had to be faster than Speaker's. Nessus would have seen to that. He would have made certain he could outrun a Kazin when necessary. Except that the puppeteer wasn't fleeing. He was looping around at Speaker's cycle.
"I do not wish to kill you," said Speaker to animals. "If you intend to attack from the air, you should remember that the range of your TASP may be less than the range of the slaver digging beam. Snarl!"
The Kzinti killing yell was blood-freezing. Louis's muscles locked in position as with tetanus. He was only dimly aware of the silver dot that looped away from Speaker's cycle. But he did notice Tila's look of open-mouthed admiration.
"I do not intend to kill you," Speaker to Animals said more calmly. "But I will have answers, Nessus. We know that your race can guide starseeds."
"Yes," said Nessus.
His cycle was receding to port at improbable speed. The feral calm of the aliens was an illusion. It existed only because Louis Wu could not read expression in an alien face, and because the aliens could not put human expression into the interworld language. Nessus was fleeing for his life, but the Kazin had not left his place in formation. He said,
"I will have answers, Nessus."
"You have guessed correctly," said the puppeteer. "Our investigation of safe methods to exterminate the vicious, carnivorous Kzinti showed that your species has a high potential, that you could conceivably be of use to us. We took steps to evolve you to the point where you could deal peaceably with races alien to you. Our methods were indirect and very safe."
"Very. Nessus, I am not happy."
"Neither am I," said Louis Wu. He had not missed the fact that both aliens were still speaking interworld. They could have had privacy by using the hero's tongue. They had preferred to include the humans, and quite rightly, for it was Louis Wu's quarrel, too.
"You used us," he said. "You used us just as thoroughly as you used the Kzinti." "But to our detriment," Speaker objected.
"A number of men were killed in the Man-Kazin Wars." "Louis, get off his back."
Tila Brown entered the lists of battle.
"Tanjit, if it hadn't been for the puppeteers, we'd all be Kzinti slaves. They kept the Kzinti from destroying civilization."
Speaker smiled and said,
"We had a civilization, too."
The puppeteer was a silent ghostly image, a one-eyed python poised to strike. Presumably, the other mouth was steering his cycle, which by now was a good distance away.
"The puppeteers used us," said Louis Wu. "They used us as a tool to evolve the Kzinti."
"But it worked," Tila insisted.
The sound was almost a snore, a low and ominous snarl. By now, nobody could have mistaken Speaker's expression for a smile.
"It did work," Tila flared.
You're a peaceful race now, Speaker. You can get along with...
Be silent, man.
With your equals, she finished generously. You haven't attacked another species in...
The Kazin produced the modified slaver digging tool and held it before the intercom so that Teela could see it. She stopped talking suddenly.
It could have been us, said Louis. He had their attention.
It could have been us, he repeated. If the puppeteers had wanted to breed humans for some trait,
he stopped.
Oh, he said. Teela. Sure.
The puppeteer did not react. Teela shifted under Louis's stare.
What's the matter, Louis? Louis!
Sorry, something just occurred to me. Nessus, speak to us. Speak to us of the fertility laws.
Louis, have you gone crazy?
Said Speaker to Animals. I would have thought of that myself, given time. Nessus?
Yes, said Nessus.
The puppeteer's cycle was a silver mote, still dwindling to port. It was almost lost against a larger, vaguer, bright point ahead, somewhat more distant from the fleet than any two points can be on Earth. The puppeteer's intercom image wore the unchanging, unreadable, silly face produced by a flat triangular skull and loose, prehensile lips. He could not look dangerous, this one.
You meddled with the fertility laws of Earth.
Yes.
Why?
We like humans. We trust humans. We have dealt profitably with humans. It is to our advantage to encourage humans, since they will certainly reach the lesser cloud before we do.
Wonderful. You like us, so?
We sought to improve you genetically, but what should we improve? Not your intelligence. Intelligence is not your great strength, nor is your sense of self-preservation, nor your durability, nor your fighting talents.
So you decided to make us lucky, said Louis.
And he began to laugh. Teela got it then. Her eyes went round and horrified. She tried to say something, but it came out as a squeak.
Of course, said Nessus. Please stop laughing, Louis. The decision was sensible. Your species has been incredibly lucky. Your history reads like a series of hairbreadth escapes from intraspecies atomic war, from pollution of your planet with industrial wastes, from ecological upsets, from dangerously massive asteroids, from the vagaries of your mildly variable sun, and even from the core explosion, which you discovered only by the merest accident. Louis, why are you still laughing?
Louis was still laughing because he was looking at Teela. Teela was blushing furiously. Her eyes shifted as if seeking a place to hide. It is not pleasant to realize that one is part of a genetics experiment.
And so we changed the fertility laws of Earth. It was surprisingly easy. Our withdrawal from known space caused a stock market crash. Economic manipulation ruined several members of the fertility board. We bribed some of these, blackmailed others with the threat of debtor's prison, then used corruption in the fertility board as publicity to force a change. It was a hideously expensive undertaking, but quite safe and partially successful. We were able to introduce the birthright lotteries. We hoped to produce a strain of unusually lucky humans.
Monster! Teela shouted. Monster!
Speaker had sheathed his slaver digging tool.
He said, Teela, you did not complain when you learned that the puppeteers had manipulated the heredity of my race. They sought to produce a docile Kazin. To that end, they bred us as a biologist breeds steets, killing the defectives, keeping others. You gloated that this crime was to the benefit of your species. Now you complain. Why?
Teela, weeping with rage, cut herself out of the intercom.
A docile Kazin, Speaker repeated. You sought to produce a docile Kazin, Nessus. If you think you have produced a docile Kazin, come and rejoin us.
The puppeteer did not answer. Somewhere far ahead of the fleet, the silver point of his cycle had become too small to see.
You do not wish to rejoin our fleet? But how can I protect you from this unknown land unless you rejoin the fleet? But I do not blame you. You do well to be wary, said the Kazin.
His claws were showing, needle-sharp and slightly curved.
Your attempt to produce a lucky human was also a failure.
No, said Nessus via intercom. We produced lucky humans. I could not contact them for this ill-fated expedition. They were too lucky.